Amen. Once again, welcome. Thank you, Highland, for being here this morning. I want to take this opportunity to thank my leadership for giving me this chance to be able to bring forth God's word. I try not to take that for granted because I do get nervous with God's word because I don't want to get in the way of the Holy Spirit and his responsibility. I want to also thank my wife for being patient with me. We've been married 30 years, and it's still hard. So I ask y'all to pray for me that we can get to Brother and Sister Russell's level. Amen. Yes. But I must say my wife is so patient with me. God bless me. So I don't think nobody else can handle that responsibility. That job was strictly for her. So, with that being said, I'm sure pretty much some of you all already know. We're coming out of Luke chapter 2, verse 48 to 52. Luke chapter 2, verse 48 to 52. One of the things I like to do when I preach, I want to make sure that I touch individual souls, and I want to encourage people to center their will in God's will, to seek God above all else, and to be open to divine persuasion. Luke chapter 2, verse 48-52. If you dare say, God is good. If you're not there, you catch up with us later, I guess. Luke chapter 2, verse 48 to 52, and it reads, "And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowfully. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me, wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit assures us of God's constant presence and help in our life. God wants to direct us in every area of our lives. What we have to understand is God doesn't force change on us. When we invite him into our life, we give him permission to use his power to change us. If you try to change on your own, you will get discouraged. Let God himself begin a work of transformation in you that will last a lifetime. Your life will see dramatic changes in you if you allow God to do his work in you. See, when God speaks, we have to listen so that we can match our walk with our worship. Number one, we have to understand that he brings hope to his people. God's word of deliverance has been spoken and it will be fulfilled. He challenges us to remember him. The purpose of remembering God's blessing is to collaborate our walk and our worship. He asks to bring to pass what he has spoken. We can rely on God to bring to fruition what we do in our walk and our worship. What we have to understand, his love for us is kind and patient compared to how human loves us. And you and I have to understand that we are worth God's love because he has purchased us with the blood of Jesus Christ. That means we have to watch for our souls so that we can walk in the same way we worship. We have to understand that only Christ has the authority whereby we understand that obedience is necessary. This is why we have to refuse to remain a well-marked target for Satan. We do that by renewing our minds daily. But if you're not renewing your mind, then you remain a well-marked target for Satan. And if you remain a well-marked target for Satan, then most likely you're not resting in God's law. The reason we're not resting in God's law, because we're failing to understand what Jesus was showing us in Luke chapter 2, verse 48 to 52. Jesus was demonstrating that he was not trying to fulfill Mary's expectation as a typical son. But what he was trying to fulfill was God's planned purpose for his life to be the Savior. Which shows you and I, if we're following Christ, we have not been placed here to fulfill the expectation of other people in our lives. Especially when they're looking to you for you to be that perfect brother or sister, that perfect mama or daddy, or that perfect husband or wife. We have to let them know, no, we're here to fulfill God's planned purpose in our life to be that effective Christian in the kingdom. That means that we have to be truly wise in our walk with Christ, so that you and I can thirst after righteousness. Because to thirst after righteousness means you're willing to put your flesh away. This is why we have to hold fast to our faith, so that you and I can get our souls healed by Jesus Christ. Let me give an example. I was reading this story about a young fella, 7 years old, and he was forced to go to a revival with his grandmother. So they went to revival Monday. He listened to the preacher. Tuesday night, he went to the revival with his grandmother. Wednesday night, instead of being outside playing with his friend, he went to the revival with his grandmother. Thursday and Friday night. Friday night comes. After listening to the minister all week, he chased the minister in the parking lot. And he said, "May I ask you a question?" He said, "Sure, what is it?" He says, "Throughout this revival, you kept saying that I have to ask Jesus to come inside of me." He said, "That's right, young man. That's what I said." He said, "Well, I'm only 7 years old." He said, "How big is Jesus?" The preacher said, "Well, I think he was pretty big because he was a carpenter." He said, "That's what I thought." He said, "So if I ask Jesus to come inside me, won't he be sticking out?" The minister said, "You got it, son. That's exactly what he's supposed to be doing." What we have to understand as Christians, when Jesus comes into our life, he needs to be sticking out. Whereby when people see you, they don't see you, they see Jesus Christ. See, what we have to understand is transformation is a journey that does not have a final destination. Transformation continues to happen in your spiritual walk until you're able to hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." The title of my lesson is "When Our Walk Matches Our Worship." When our walk matches our worship. Let's approach the throne of grace together. Oh, gracious Heavenly Noble Father, we approach your throne of grace, thanking you for this wonderful, glorious opportunity you allowed each and every one of us to arrive here this morning and to hear a portion of your word. Father, we ask that you'll continue to be with us, continue to guide us, remove any distraction out of our way, so that this word can penetrate our hearts and our minds, oh Father, so that one day we'll be able to hear you say, "Well done, our good and faithful servant." Father, right now we ask that you encourage us, oh Lord, to continue to give you, offer up sacrifice of praise to you so that we can fulfill your purpose in our lives, oh Father. So that we can be always be in the position to endure any hardships with patience. Father, we ask that that when we receive this word, oh Father, we just don't walk out saying what a good lesson, oh Father, but we walk out of here saying we've been changed. So we ask that you be with us, continue to guide us, continue to love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 3 points I want to make tonight, and the lesson to be yours. The first point is, God's presence secures. God's presence secures. The second point is, God's power sustains. God's power sustains. And the third point is, God's provision satisfies. God's presence secures. God's power sustains. And God's provision satisfies. Look at verse 48 of Luke chapter 2. It states, "Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." This was Mary's response to Jesus. And what we have to understand is, when we're not in God's presence, sometimes we get a little sad or discouraged. That's why we have to understand that his presence inspires loyalty. And when his presence inspires loyalty, his presence increases in love. See, the promise of his peace is that his disciples would therefore be comforted in the abiding presence of Jesus Christ. The promise of his peace, his disciples would not be in trouble by the world because the God-given peace that he gives to all of us who accept him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The promise of his power is that God's presence and God's peace and God's power are contained in his promise. God promises to keep you safe from the enemy. But you have to fulfill your responsibility as a Christian. See, when we really want to see Jesus as he really is, we have to walk in Jesus' journey. And when we walk in Jesus' journey, then we can walk worthy in Christ so that we continue to walk in the brightness of his life. That means you and I have to continuously abide in Christ no matter what difficulties that we're going through, so that we can abstain from the abominable ways of the world. This is why we have to let God set the agenda for our lives, so that we can lean more on the Lord. But if you're not leaning on the Lord, then you're not letting God set your agenda. And if you're not letting God set your agenda, then most likely you are not a light in this world. And the reason we're not a light in this world is because we don't realize what is going on in Luke chapter 2, verse 48. Mary and Joseph is upset and disappointed with Jesus because he was not meeting their expectations. And what we have to understand is what Jesus is showing us, as well as Mary and Joseph, is his primary commitment is to the Father's business. That means you and I, if we're following Jesus, our primary commitment is to the Father's business. Now, trust me, when you stand on that, everybody's not going to be happy with that. Because when they expect you to be somewhere and you got to be about the Father's business, that's when you have to tell them no. And everybody don't want to hear no. This is why we have to be in a position to let God set our agenda so we can lean more on the Lord. But you and I, we have to keep watch of the kingdom by keeping his commandments. The more you and I can keep his commandments, the more you and I can continue to follow in his footsteps. And we have to be able to keep unity among each other so that we can keep thyself pure. Because as long as we are in the world, Satan and his enemies is trying to deceive us and to keep us staying with filth. But this is why I love coming to church on Sunday, so that we can keep ourselves unified with Christ. Because when you feel the pressure of the world, all it should do is squeeze out the fruits of the Spirit. Let me give you an example of that. Turn with me quickly to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're just going to read verse 22 to 24. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Here it is. Paul is trying to show us what it looks like when you walk in the Spirit. Look at verse 22. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is." This is the first point of the passage. The ministry of Christ's character the ministry of Christ's character. What we have to understand is the leading of his spirit is practical in our lives. So when we understand that the leading of God's spirit is practical, this describes our conviction. You got to be convicted in Christ to continue to allow him to be led, allowing yourself to be led by his spirit. This is why it's called the ministry of Christ's character. That means when you go and encounter, when you go to work, when you go to school, or you at home, when people get on your nerves, you don't give them a piece of your mind, you give them Christ's character. I love you, baby. Verse 23, he says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. The second point is the manner of Christ's character. See, when the leading of the, we have to understand that the leading of his spirit is powerful. And when we understand the leading of his spirit is powerful, this describes our conduct. That means however we act when we go, people should feel or like we love them. Not just the people we're in contact with, but even your enemies. That boss you got on your job to get on your nerves, that they trying to get you fired, she still should feel like you love her. I know that's easier said than done. But I'm going to keep preaching until I get it. Because even if she fired me, I'm going to still love her. My face might not look the same, but I'm going to still love her. Look at verse 24. He says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and loves. The second point is the motivation of Christ's character. See, the leading of his spirit is purposeful. And when we understand the leading of his spirit is purposeful, this describes our commitment to God. You and I have to be committed enough that his love motivate us to continue to act like Christ. Now, you remember Christ was hated on by the world. So as long as you follow his footsteps, guess what? You're going to be hated on as well. But that should motivate you to still act like Christ, no matter who attacks you, because the goal is to get to heaven. And heaven can be more than any reward you receive on this earth. See, you and I have to have the mindset that we are willing to suffer for righteousness when we walk in the Spirit. Point number two, God's power sustains us. Go back to verse 51 of Luke chapter 2. He says in verse 51, or it states, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. This is the mark of spiritual discernment by Mary, which eventually was the mark of spiritual deliverance. See, we need to possess a positive attitude, because a positive attitude keeps us from falling victim to self-defeat of our flesh. We need to exercise self-discipline in our spiritual walk, because self-discipline is the correction of oneself for the sake of improving yourself in your walk. You can't be the same you was yesterday today. And you can't be the same tomorrow as you are today. You must continuously continue to be changing. See, when we want God's power to work in us, we have to know that there's power in Jesus' name. And when we know there's power in Jesus' name, then there has to be patterns of his work in our life so that we can be perfect in Christ. Now, when I say perfect, I don't mean perfect. I mean the Bible used the word perfect as mature, so that you can mature in Christ. But you got to have patterns of his work in your life. And then we have to regularly worship so that we can continue to have the option to be able to get to heaven. That means you just can't come here every other Sunday. You have to regularly worship, because now you're being obedient to Christ. And when you come to worship, you receive the word of truth. And when you receive the word of truth, now you have wonder-working power in your walk, in your walk, in your spirit. But if you don't have wonder working power, then you don't have the word of truth. And if you don't have the word of truth, then you're walking in the wisdom of the world. And the way we avoid walking in the wisdom of the world, we follow the pattern of Mary. In Luke chapter 52, it says she kept Jesus sane in her heart. We have to practice keeping Jesus' word in our heart. Because when she kept the word in her heart, it helped her to develop a trust for Jesus that when he said he was going to do something, she knew it was for the good and it was going to be right in the end. We know this because when Jesus matured in John chapter 2, Mary tells the servant at the wedding feast, whatsoever he saith, do it. That's the mindset we have to have. Whatever Jesus says, we just got to do it. You know Nike stole that slogan from Jesus. Just do it. Just do it. But you got to have the word of truth in you to help you build that trust. This is why we have to enjoy his word so that we can edify one another in our walk. Because we need our help. We can't do this by ourselves. Even with Jesus inside of us, we still have to help each other to be able to encourage so that we can continue to walk right. I should be able to come here and say, Brother Russell, I'm struggling. Yes. And Brother Russell should be able to give me a word of encouragement to help me to go back out into the world. Yes. This is why I love Highland, because we love each other so much. Yes. So if you have a different agenda other than love, you can just keep on moving. Yes. We still love you, but just keep walking. Yes. And we love you in the spirit. This is why we have to receive the Spirit of God so that we can rebuke our flesh. I was reading a story about this wealthy man who decided to have a party. And trust me, this man wasn't Diddy. He wasn't Diddy. But he decided to have this party where he invited all the people at his job and the people that he worked. And he decided he was going to put these dangerous fish in his swimming pool. He had sharks, barracudas, all sort of kind of fish that was dangerous. So he challenged the people at his party. He says, I'm going to challenge anybody here that if you jump in a swimming pool and swim to the other end, I'm going to give you a house on a mountain, or you can have a trip, two fair trip around the world, or you have a piece of my business. Just when he said that, the water splashed, this man swam in the swimming pool all the way to the other end. The millionaire came and looked at him. He said, as he was looking at him, he was dripping water. He said, man, that was impressive. He said, what prize do you want? The man said, I don't care nothing about no prize right now. I just want to know the name of the turkey that pushed me in the swimming pool. What's the point of why are you telling us that, Brother Sales? What you and I have to understand is our stability in Christ is God's highest priority. Because when you stabled in Christ, nobody has to push you to worship. When you stabled in Christ, nobody has to push you to walk in the spirit when you out in the world. So if you establish a relationship with Christ and you stable, then God is pleased and blessed with you. The third and last point, God's provisions satisfies. In verse 52 of Luke chapter 2, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You and I have to have a mindset that we explore Jesus' path so that we can exhibit his productivity. God provided a refuge for us. God always has a place of refuge for those who love and serve him. God provides a renewal for each and every one of us. God always has a history of showing up when things are out of control. God provides reassurance to us because God does things through us to reassure us that he is still with us. Let me give you an example of that. Turn with me quickly to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to read. Well, I don't have the time to read right now. We're going to pull out some verses, points, and then we're going to move forward. and the lesson gonna be yours. Daniel chapter 3, verse 22 to 27. I pray that you read this at your leisure if you haven't already read it. But pray that or that you get a chance, you read it on your own, because this is his miraculous provision through preservation. Look at verse 22 of Daniel chapter 3. So just giving you the synopsis of what's going on. Everybody know about the three Hebrew boys, correct? Here it is. They are the minority going against the majority. Why you say that, Brother Sims? Because the king had decided that everybody was going to only worship his statue. But the Hebrew boys said, we can't worship that statue. We got to worship the true God. But the king had put out a law that if you didn't worship his statue, you was going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. This is where we are at verse 22. In verse 22 of Daniel chapter 3, it says, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here is the first point. Their walk was preserved. Their walk was preserved. A spiritual walk brings stability for God. And when it brings stability for God, then it's a protected way to walk. What do you mean, Brother Sims? How is this protected way? Because the Bible says that the men brought Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego to the fire, and what happened to the men? They burnt up. The enemy burnt up, but not the three Hebrew boys. God will protect you when you're walking in the spirit and you worshiping right. Look at verse 25. It says, lo, this is the king talking. Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Here's the second point. Their witness was preserved. A spiritual witness brings strength from God. And when it brings strength from God, and then it's a powerful way to witness. The king said he saw four men, and what was they doing? Walking. With who? Jesus. He said the Son of God, but we all know it was Jesus. See, no matter what situation you're in, you got to keep walking with Jesus. This is the way, because that's a powerful witness when people seeing you going through it and you still got Jesus with you. Because they're going to come to you and ask you, how strong, why are you so strong when we know you're going through some hard, difficult times? Because I got Jesus on my side. You can't witness no more than that. Look at verse 28. It says, that they might not serve, verse 28 shows us the third point, that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own God. This is the third point. Their worship was preserved. What do you mean, Brother Sim? A spiritual worship brings submission to God. This is a poor way or pure way to worship. See, when you go through stuff and when you come out and God keep you protected, you come out like you've never been in nothing. We see that because the king said, when he saw them come out, he says, now from now on, we're going to worship their God. When you witness like this in the world, you bring more souls to Christ. But see, too many of us, as soon as we go through some difficult, hard times, the first thing we want to do is give up on God. And God says, that's the time to shine. Because if you just hold on, he got a reason and a purpose why you going through that. See, I'm smiling at my boss while she's yelling at me. Because I'm letting her know I got a purpose. People are watching me. And soon enough, they're going to be up in here. Watch what I tell you. Some of my coworkers are going to come up in here, I'm telling you. Because I'm holding on. See, what we got to understand is we have a royal favor with God. And when we understand we have a royal favor with God, then we have to be fervent in the spirit so that we can fight against our flesh. Our flesh want to tell us to stop and give up and quit. But when you're fervent in the spirit, you hold on to Jesus' hand as he leads you through whatever circumstances you're going through. This is why our affections has to be sanctified so that we can accept his precepts. See, our affections will get us in a lot of trouble. But that's why our affections have to be sanctified through heaven. So that no matter what Satan is trying to take us through, we can make the same statement as Jesus says, Satan, get behind me. This is why we have to have the voice of Christ in our ear so that we can have a virtuous mindset. But if you don't have a virtuous mindset, then you don't have the voice of Christ in your ear. And if you don't have the voice of Christ consistently in your ear, then you're not valuing your relationship with God. See, when you value your relationship, if you're not valuing your relationship with God, then you're not following Luke chapter 2, verse 52. It tells us that Jesus had favor with man and God. Because of how he worshiped and how he walked. See, what the scripture is trying to show us is that Jesus stayed committed to God. He didn't try to meet the expectations of Mary and Joseph because he knew I had to be about my father's business. And as long as we stay about our father's business, then you and I will also have favor with God and with man. See, he's trying to show us that you have to develop or mature or grow in all four areas of your life. Intellectual, physical, spiritual, and social dimension. Because if you're maturing in all four areas of your life, then now God says you have favor with God and man. Now, does that mean you're going to always have favor with man? No, because even when he's saying Jesus had favor with man and God, when we know as he got older, he still had haters in his life. And the only reason he had haters is because he told them the truth. So I'm letting you know, as long as you're following Jesus' footsteps, you're going to have haters too, because nobody want to hear the truth. Because when you expose the truth to them, then now you're going to get hated on. But you still got to tell them the truth. This is why we have to be one in spirit with Jesus. Because when we one in spirit with Jesus, then now we can be ordained for eternal life. See, everybody's ordained for life eternal, or everybody's ordained for eternal life, but everybody's not ordained for life eternal. Which means everybody going to live in eternity. It just determines what section you're going to live in. I'm not going to repeat that what I always say. You know my two sections. Non-smoking section or the smoking section. The choice is yours. All right? Okay, let me give you an example because the time getting by me. And I got so much to say. And now I'm trying to figure out what I say and what I don't say. But let me say this. Anybody like watching Animal Kingdom? I love watching Animal Kingdom. Learn about wildlife. And I'll never forget, I was watching this show about when it was talking about cheetahs. They say cheetahs run 70 miles per hour. Lord, I hope I never get to Africa and I get chased by a cheetah. They say they have to catch their prey in the first flurry because even though they run 70 miles per hour, because of their slim body, they can't keep that stamina because they have a small heart. So if they don't catch their prey at a certain time, they get tired. And they have to, so all you got to do is outrun a cheetah until he get tired. Why are you telling us that, Brother Sims? We got Christians the same way. They get involved with Christ and they take off and they running. They walking in the spirit and they worshiping. And you can tell who spiritually got small hearts because eventually their stamina don't last long. As soon as they initiate a relationship with Jesus, they come into Sunday school, they come into church, they hear every Sunday. But then all of a sudden, you don't see them in Sunday school no more. All of a sudden, they skipping every other Sunday in worship. See, what we have to understand is we cannot give up until our walk matches our worship. That means how you live out there is determined by how you worship in here. Because if you worship in here, then if you worship in spirit and truth, then your vertical relationship with Christ is intact. And then when you walk out of worship, then your horizontal relationship will be intact with man. This is how you know that your walk is matching your worship. Now, if you come into worship and you acting hellish out there, most likely you're not worshiping right. See, what we got to understand is God sends a storm so that he can bring the wayward back to him. That means you and I have to glorify God in our walk and our worship, because you might not be the wayward, but somebody in your family or your friend might be the wayward. And as long as they see you in the light and they in the dark, they'll follow you to the light. This is what happened with the three Hebrew boys. They was the only three willing to worship God, even if they was going to get killed. And when they went into the fire and came out, now everybody in Babylon wanted to worship God. Brothers and sisters, we got a responsibility. The thing is, don't be like the cheetah. Don't have such a small heart that you give up. Hang on. I know it's hard out there in the world, but if you just hold on, you're going to see victory, because the victory is already promised to you. The thing is, Satan don't want to steal what you have. He don't want to take your car. He don't want to take your house. He don't want to take that nice suit you got on or that dress. He wants to steal your victory. He wants you to forfeit it so you can go to hell with him. You've heard the word. All you got to do, if you haven't initiated a relationship with God, you need to do that. All you heard the word. Now all you got to do is believe. When you believe, you repent of your sins, you confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then you get baptized, you come out, and now he's right there with you. You better have him with you rather than not have him with you. Every time I come here and I pass a golf course, I just shake my head at the people that's their worship on the golf course Sunday mornings. And I'm like, how do they make it through the world without having God in their life? If you need God in your life, you can do that. If you have already initiated a relationship with God, all you got to do, if you've fallen short, come up here and repent of your sins so you can start a whole new day over again. Because what we got to understand is God also sends the storm so that he can teach us the necessity of faith. You need faith in Jesus to get through this dark world. Whatever you need to do, we can do it together while we can do it as together we stand and as we sing.